Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 219 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Eric Walquist. So joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
Jesse, the penultimate Wilson.
The penultimate episode. I've always liked that word, penultimate.
It's a great word.
The only thing I like more than like penultimate episodes is penultimate frisbee.
Yeah, I like the penultimate fighter series on Spike, too.
Perfect. This is our penultimate episode. This is the second to the last episode ever of the Personal Arrogance Podcast. You know, barring any reunion specials.
Yeah.
Too many cooks for that, though.
Holiday. Way too many cooks.
It's
going to be hard to resist the urge to do a drunken reunion bypacks episode.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what spawns out of this Bald Move collaboration right. Nerd podcast, which we've been talking, teasing for 2015.
Sounds like that show's going to have too many cooks.
Too many cooks. So that's what it should be called. It's too many cooks. For those of you who don't know what Too Many Cooks is, apparently it's an Adult Swim 12-minute thing that was featured at like 3:30 a.m. between infomercials. And the only thing I'll say is basically it parodies every late 80s, early 90s sitcom / crime drama / television in general. Yeah. And you should go out and watch it. Type in Too Many Cooks onto YouTube and watch the full 12-minute version because it is a genius.
NSFW.
Yeah, by the way. NSFW, BTW. Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
I am drinking some 17-year-old Suntory whiskey, courtesy of my pop, who brought it back from Nippon, the land of the rising sun.
That's hardcore, man. You're clashing up the
delicious
joint. Nicely done. I'm drinking the Celebration Ale, which...
How are you finding it this year?
Love it.
I haven't had it yet.
It's one of my perennial favorites. I feel like they did take a dip in recent years, but I don't give a shit, man. I have like a little market by my apartment. I went to the market. They have like a little beer cooler in the back. And I go in there and I'm like looking around. The beer in there is like kind of pricey. Like when beer is on sale there, it's $7.99.
For a six pack.
And so I was like looking around. There wasn't really any $7.99 beers. And so I'm like, I get the wassail. I'll get the full sale wassail. You know, a little winter seasonal from Full Sail. So I grabbed that off the shelf. And then as I'm walking out, I notice there's a whole display for Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale on sale, $7.99.
Nice.
And it was like, I don't know what it is, man. I've had this reaction numerous times. Celebration Ale just represents like a new beginning for me. It's like a yearly baptism in the waters of the Sierra Nevadas. And I was smiling ear to ear, giddily walking through the store holding the six pack like a maniac. And then the guy, as I was ringing it up, the guy's like, "Wow, this beer's pretty popular today." And I was like, "It's my favorite beer. I love it. It's one of my. It's my favorite winter seasonal. It's amazing. And you guys have it on sale." Like, I became like
started to cry.
I'm a fanboy for Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale.
There you go. Pick some up.
I love it though. It's delicious.
I had
a
weird experience today.
Uh-huh.
So I drove to Bremerton. I was driving back. I wanted to get a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like one like drive-through coffee place on the way out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And
is
my
it
wife's
a natte
not
latte?
Like hearing this story. But yeah, it's like one of those
natte latte
places.
Yeah, natte latte.
I'd never been to one before.
Was it the Gorse one in the strip club parking lot?
No. I was heading the...
Oh, you are going north.
I was heading west.
Yeah.
So, this one's near the Safeway.
By the way, I don't want people to think that I, like, go to the what is it called now? The main stage in Gorst? I'm just saying.
Oh, that's been closed for quite a while.
Oh, it has? Okay. Well, yeah. You would know. No, but the thing about this is that, like, if you want to drive to Bremerton from, like, Seattle or Tacoma, you know, a couple cities that people actually know exist in Washington... you have to drive through this place called Gorst, and Gorst has three things. They have four things. They have a Texaco. They have a Mattress Ranch, which is exactly what you think it is. It is a giant building that is painted. It's a warehouse painted like a barn with fake cows at the outside, and they sell mattresses. There's a
get more sleep without counting sheep and have another night of bliss. Off of Highway 20 in Port Orchard's where we is. Get more sleep at the Mattress Ranch.
Exactly. There's a Subaru dealership. And then there's
closed on Sunday for family days.
Exactly. And then there's the strip club / Natte Latte.
There's also a bar called the Wigwam that I really want to go to. Apparently they have killer barbecue.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So regardless, everybody who lives in Bremerton knows the current status and paint job, because they do paint it frequently, of the strip club located in Gorst.
Yeah, which is now shut down and will probably never be reopened.
I gotta say, I think they're probably just going to turn into another Mattress Ranch.
Yeah, these ones already come with crabs.
Well, you know, God, you know that in Silverdale, the old porn store turned into a Mattress Ranch.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, the old castle. The castle.
No, castle's still there. Mattress Ranch is just adjacent to the
castle. Oh, it's right next to castle. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so you went to a Natte Latte.
Yeah, I go to this, and it's like, warning, parental advisory, extreme content ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is lame, whatever. And then, like, the car in front of me is taking way too long, and I'm like, I hope that guy's not masturbating.
Oh, God.
You know that must happen.
Ugh, that's just it's so degrading.
Yeah, it's really weird. But then, like, I pull up. And it was really uncomfortable. She didn't just have, like, lingerie on. She had, like, pasties.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's, like, almost... It's, like, 99% of the boob.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't know, like, where to look. And I'm like, trying not to look. I'm, like, looking away. And then, like, when I go to, like, grab the coffee, my eyes are, like, right at crotch level. And...
What is this, like a full size?
It was a cold day too. I'm like, does it get cold? It seems like it gets cold in there.
She must have a space. Is it was it like, I don't understand crotch view. Like, is this like a sliding glass door or what?
Well, no, but it's like a window.
Uh-huh.
But like, she's raised.
Okay.
So like, where I'm sitting in my car, and the platform is raised, so like right where my head is like as high off the ground as her crotch is.
Yeah.
And it was just a really, really, really weird experience. I thought I could be a big boy and just like, whatever, I just want the coffee.
Yeah.
It's just a scantily clad gal. It's not going to throw me off, but it really threw me off. And then, like, the tip jar was like, it was like, help me go back to school, tips, please.
Oh,
I was
no.
just like, jeez.
Yeah. I mean, the worst part is when you recognize her from high school. Man, that is awkward, though. I mean, you and I have been known to frequent an adult establishment during a bachelor party or two.
Right.
But I feel like the out-of-context, like,
right.
experience...
And that's the other thing. I was like, how much extra traffic is this place drawing
yeah.
with this thing? If anything, I think it would probably keep people away from it.
Absolutely.
Because if you're in the car with your kids, you're not going to go there.
Yeah, let's reduce the appeal of our coffee stand.
As it's not like people are like, I'm going to go there just to look at girls and then also get a coffee.
It's so weird. That's true. I mean, the number one point is to go get coffee.
Right. Yes.
It's like, and I don't really need any added perk to that.
No.
As long as I go somewhere, like, that's the thing is that, like, this is appealing to a male shopper, and I hate to be male stereotypical here, but as far as I know, I go to a store, I go in, I get what I want, and I leave. And that seems to be a very common mindset for dudes. And I'm sorry for being paternalistic here. But I'm just saying that, like, you go in, you get what you need, and you get out.
Right.
Like, I don't even like to talk to people. If I go to Home Depot, four people ask me how I'm doing. I say fine, and I'm just marching along. Right?
Right.
And, like, so I don't need any added complication. Like, if I need coffee, I'm going to go to a coffee place, I'm going to get my coffee, and I'm going to leave. I don't need more than that. Like,
yeah.
I don't
and
require
I feel
anything
like-
else.
And this might, like, if you're on the fence, like, mm-hmm. if I was driving home and I was on the fence, I'm like, maybe I want a coffee. Like, if mm-hmm. my wife is in the car,
mm-mm.
I'll be like, well, nope, not going to get coffee because the only yeah. place I can get it at has, like, weird almost naked gals.
I agree. And it's like I said, it's just so out of context, too. It's like
right.
nobody's like, I'm looking for coffee in a Shucks parking lot. And you know what I also need? A little bit of naughty in my latte.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, no.
Plus, like, they're working with hot liquids.
Yeah.
This just seems unsafe. It was weird. It was a weird experience. I thought I could handle it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's just getting some coffee, no big deal. But it did kind of psychologically trip me up a little bit.
I can understand that, man. But at least, you know, it's all just a human experience in this menagerie of colors and sounds that we call life. And once more, the world reveals a new experience to you, sir.
That's beautiful, man.
So let's chalk it up to the universe just shaking your hand and saying, there's more to this world that you haven't explored. It's a universal handshake.
Deep.
Thank you. Speaking of universal handshakes, we got a lot of feedback this week, guys, and thank you for keeping in touch. We would be remiss not to start it off with our good buddy. Here comes McBride. Michael McBride, that is.
Michael McBride again. This one's much more happier note.
Oh.
Not.
I think we need to be in context for that one. I'm sorry. Let's do the Michael McBride sad one. Here it is.
Hi, guys. Michael McBride here. I didn't even get into the full episode yet. I just have been just listening. And I'm not mad at you all or anything. I mean, yeah. You guys aren't probably know what this is about. About hanging up the Personal Arrogance podcast, which is, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. You get busy, life happens, so on and so forth. But I have to say, hearing that news actually broke my heart a little bit. Not at y'all at all, like I said. Cause, for the past, I don't even think it's been a full year yet for me. I think I've been listening to you guys for about a little over 8 months now. I think I started listening back early. I started listening right after the Super Bowl. Like 2 or 3 weeks after the Super Bowl, I started listening. And y'all have already had a profound effect on my life. Y'all have, silly as this may be, you've all, expanded my, taste in beer, which is, I mean, a silly thing, but a big thing to me. That's just like, never would have guessed that I would be into that type of thing. I would always think, oh, I'm just going to do Bud Light, whatever. You know, I've joined a D&D group, which has been some of the most fun I've had playing any game in a long time. I think it's more fun than any video game I've played in years. And I've been looking forward to every single adventure we have on that. Like, I'm looking forward to, because Saturday we're playing. Me and a few of the members of the Podcast Nation here. And it's just, I may or may not, I'll probably do a voicemail again for next week. Wishing you guys luck. And just, good luck with everything you guys do. I'm looking forward to hear what you guys' next step is. Kind of depressed that we didn't get to 250 or 300, but life moves on. I will never remove the speed from my cell phone. Alright guys, stay arrogant.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, Michael, I really appreciate the sentiment. And one of the things I really love is that, and we've gotten it a few times here, is that people are like, we were able to introduce new things to people.
Right, yeah.
That's just something that's really powerful for me, because like, I remember when I was in high school and a dude named Jesse Wilson said, hey, Eric, we're going to play Dungeons and Dragons. You should play. And I had the only thing I had heard from Dungeons and Dragons was like from my church youth group when I was 13. One guy said that his older brother played Dungeons and Dragons and went insane.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And so
that was a good DM.
A real good DM.
The Dungeon Master was the Joker.
So like, and then I remember playing that first game. I was like, holy shit, this game is fucking amazing. Like, this is amazing. And, yeah, I've been doing that ever since. So, yeah, man, like, we really appreciate you a lot, Michael. And we appreciate you being a part of the podcast. And we appreciate every listener out there who maybe tried one of our recommendations, or maybe tried a new beer at the beer counter, or maybe picked up a board game or whatever. It means a lot to us. So. Go a little happier, though. Michael also called in with a happy one. Here's Michael with happy.
Michael McBride again. This one's a much more happier note. Not. going to be as depressing as the last one. I know the last one sounded kind of depressing. Didn't mean to. I was just A, shocked, and two, at the same time, I understand it. I've said that like 50 times already. I don't need to say it anymore. But you said you're coming to the Chesapeake area. I officially am happy because that is less than an hour, about an hour away from me, like right in that general area. So we could totally meet like pretty much right where I'm at. If you're here one place I want to check out a brewery, I have yet to go there myself, but I'm probably going to go there soon, is that Aleworks I've mentioned before a few weeks ago. That Aleworks Brewing Company totally would be a perfect place for us to go. They do tours and everything, and they have their own tap room and everything, so you just totally try a bunch of the different beers. But that's if you wanted to go there, but totally would definitely introduce you to some of those Aleworks beers. They're personally some of my favorites. I don't know if they'll be yours or not, but okay. Totally am looking forward to whenever that happens, because you're coming to Chesapeake area, totally can be able to meet up with you, either in Chesapeake or over in this area, Williamsburg area or something like that. All right, guys. Stay arrogant and get off my back.
Thank you, Michael. Now, that's another thing, too, is like... The invitation is still open. If you're coming to the Seattle area, let me know and I will meet up with you. That's some of my favorite things is like meeting up with listeners as they come up to Seattle. I've had some really, really fun times meeting up with people. So the personalarrogance@gmail.com is still going to be active. Our Facebook page is still going to be active. So let us know, guys, and keep in touch. The nation doesn't have to die just because the podcast is being executed. It's being walked out and lighting a cigarette. a little touch point from last week. We had our execution bracket, and right now it's a deadlock between Firing Squad and Lion's Den.
Appropriately, so. It's a deadlock.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's get to another voicemail. This one comes to us from a dear, dear friend. Dear, dear friend from a faraway land. And let me find it here. There you are. Here it is.
Hey guys, I just checked my podcast feed and I had to sit down and digest it and really think about my feelings now, and I'm sad. Oh. Personal Arrogance became this weekly thing for me because. Really, and I have to thank you for that. It changed me. I mean, why do I, a German 20-year-old, call into a podcast which is, from guys who are from the point where I sit, are really at the other side of the world, which is insane when you think about it. It's insane when you think about it, but it's great when you really think about it. And, it's a good decision. You had great reasons for it. But even though it makes sense, it hurts. Like most things, it makes sense. But, man. I'm going to miss this podcast. We just have the finale and some unanswered questions, like some mysteries still in the room, like the one thing Roger Dotsy, saved for a later podcast. I'm quite curious what that may be. Or Rollo Tomasi's real name. This is quite a mystery, too. I'm just kidding. I really, really hope that everybody who has called in over the times calls in for the last time, so we just have a really big last podcast, a great finale. This is Breaking Bad all over again. I'm going to lose a thing. I look forward every week. Christ. This is sad. Oh man, I just don't have anything more to say. I'm looking forward to the last two episodes, which I hope are great, and for the projects you're doing after that. So one last thing, because of you, I a friend and I came up with the idea to start our own podcast, and now you're going to end this. This is poetic nonsense. This is crap. No, I'm just kidding. You have your reasons. It's great. Yeah. Bye. Have a great week, a great cast, and get off my Please Come Back.
Get off my Please Come Back. Oh, Dennis. I don't know what it is about Dennis Kleinbeck, but like every time that he calls in, I nearly cry. Like, I tear up.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, every time.
He has a powerful voice.
He's got a powerful voice, man. Yeah, we've actually gotten this a couple of times. A couple of people said they're going to start podcasts. That's like the most awesome thing, dude. Starting a podcast is the easiest fucking thing in the world.
Let us know what it is, and we'll give it a listen. We can plug it on our last show.
Yeah.
If listeners have become podcasters.
Absolutely.
We can extend that out so people can have something else to listen to. And maybe I'll learn German.
Oh, yeah. So I hope it's 100% in German.
Dennis's podcast.
I hope that the whole thing like sounds like a UN translator, so it's like one sentence in German, one sentence in English. It's like, der sprechen sich so feind. And then it's like, I went to the store today. I went to the Natte Latte.
Why would they translate their own podcast?
For both, so that it could be a transcontinental podcast.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But also, yeah, we have the Facebook page. We'll pimp it on the Facebook page, guys. So let us know if you're starting podcasts. That's really awesome. I hope both Michael and Dennis call in next week for our last show. We'd be very, very honored if that occurred. Now we're going to go down to Texas. Let's take a listen.
Hey, guys. This is Sean in Fort Worth. I just want to thank you guys for facilitating the friendships I've made playing D&D through your podcast. I hung out with one Levi Rinkin tonight. I'm in a hotel by myself in Katy, Texas. I'm very drunk off of local craft beer. And I am instant messaging with Rolo Tomasi, the Rolo Tomasi. I'm very sad to hear that you guys are ending the podcast, but I do understand. I feel ya. Anyways, I'm going to go watch the Disney Channel for the next 3 hours and go to bed and maybe even smoke a cigarette, which I haven't done in like 12 years.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Have a good night. I wish you guys the best in your future endeavors. And also, I think Ernest P. Worrell is a very underrated comedian. Get off my back. For the rest of your lives, I hope you guys do stay somewhat arrogant. If not, well... Bye.
Sean, that's so funny. Dude, that's... It started off real strong. The thing is, dude, like, that always... Like, whenever we hang out... Okay. When I get like really drunk, I've actually kind of stopped this urge, but it's happened a couple times because I used to smoke. I smoked for like a year in college and I basically only smoked when I was drunk. And now every time, and like I said, it hasn't really happened recently, but like when I get pretty drunk, I want a cigarette so bad. And you guys have been so good at not letting me get cigarettes. I remember one time we were like in the U District and I like tried to buy cigarettes and you guys like almost violently opposed it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, we get a little too good at stopping you.
Which is good because it's always the worst the next day. Like, I haven't smoked a cigarette probably in 5 years. If I smoked a cigarette, like, and I wouldn't smoke one, I'd smoke like three or four. I'd wake up the next morning, my throat would be like, just terrorized.
Yeah.
So.
And your mouth tastes all bad. Ugh. No, if I smoked a cigarette now, I think I would get sick again. I think I've gotten back to the point where, like, I'm a beginner.
Yeah.
It'd be like smoking your first cigarette and feeling all sick.
Yeah. Dude, that's so special, though, with Sean. Like, he met up with Levi Reek and he's texting Rolo Tomasi. This is a beautiful thing, man.
I played D&D with both of those guys.
I feel like a proud papa, man. Mm-hmm. This makes me happy. Let's go down to Alabama. What do you say?
All right, y'all.
All right.
No! It's not true. It's not true.
Yeah. Not very happy. That was a big Halloween scary thing.
Aww.
Hope you guys were just pranking us with that. It sounds like you just kind of, it's not you, it's me. The entire personal arrogant nation.
Oh.
I understand you got lots going on, though. Kudos. I'm happy for you guys. I hope you fellas are doing well. Get off my back. It's Will from Alabama. Stay arrogant for like one more or two more weeks.
Oh.
Jeez Louise.
The Will from Alabama. I just love the no there was so good. That reminded me of Best Cry Ever. Do you remember Best Cry Ever, Jesse?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, let me just refresh the listener here for Best Cry Ever.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
That sounded exactly like Sean. Or, I'm sorry, like Will.
I was thinking more like Luke on on Cloud City. That's not true. That's impossible.
Luke, I am your father.
No.
The scary note. Perfect. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Will. You know, we love you. I hope someday you can show me down a river as a guide.
We need to pitch this. This will be our last gasp.
Oh,
we'll pitch it to Travel Channel.
I love it.
Where we travel around the U.S. and meet all of our listeners.
Oh, God. That is such a genius idea. We need to kickstart the shit out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Season 2, we'll go meet our international listeners.
Oh, I love it. Oh, man. That'll be fun because we'll get to go to Australia and England and Germany.
Personal arrogance road trip.
Will from Alabama. Hey, Will. Dude, I feel like Will from Alabama would be a key episode.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Talk about fish out of water. Like,
us?
Yeah.
Us in Alabama?
And we're in a
raft. I don't know, man. I'm getting countryer and countryer the longer I'm out here on the peninsula.
Well, I'm obviously not saying that I would dislike it. I'm just saying that I feel like it's so different from my comfort zone, from my cozy little apartment in Seattle.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it would be so fun to be thrust into that environment.
Yeah, I think the weather would be shocking.
Not to mention, I feel like Will would be an awesome tour guide.
Well, that's what he does.
It's his job. But
yeah.
Yeah. I do love that idea, man. We just travel around, we meet everybody, play D&D at the end of the episode. That is awesome. And then we got one more phone call this week. This one comes to us up from New York. I keep on saying New York City. It's not New York City. It's Rochester, New York. I want to say New York City. Anyway, here it is.
What's going on, Eric and Jesse? This is Baxter from Rochester, New York. So, I took your recommendation for beer from the last podcast, and I picked myself up a Belgian ale. Gotta say, it was pretty good, though. My brother Jam tried it. He said it was the lightest beer he'd ever had. I think that's probably supposed to be an insult, but he has a dark beer. So, it was great. I liked it a lot. I also tried that apple slice trick, only I might have put an entire apple into a pint glass with some of the leftover beer. And let me tell you something. I didn't think it changed much, but eating a beer-soaked apple has probably been the closest thing I've had to religious experience with food since communion.
All right.
So I got a question for you guys that's completely unrelated to beer. I've heard that you guys know a bit about...
What?
Oh, no.
It cut out. Oh, no. I think he might have cheek-ended. This is a common phenomenon with, like, specifically smartphone users, is that if you smile while you're talking, you can end the phone call.
I thought that was some sort of, like, butt thing.
No, that's...
I was trying to figure out what the hell cheek-ended means.
That's a different way. That's a different cheek. That's a bummer, Manny. I'm sure he had such a good question. Also, this beer-soaked apple thing, I think this could revolutionize bobbing for apples. Just saying. If we knew someone who owned a brewery in the future, maybe a little bobbing for apple action. All right, so that's our feedback for this week. Thank you for calling in. You got one more chance, guys. So please, 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 we want to hear from you on the last episode of Personal Arrogance. So please give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024, or you can email in your voice just like Dennis did. It sounds so crystal clear. If you do that, you can email in a voice memo to us at personalarrogance@gmail.com. Guys, this is your last shot. And we'd love to hear from you before we hang up the cleats. So please do that. All right, Jesse, you ready to get in some topics?
Let's do it.
All right. So I got two topics. You get to choose which one we talk about first. We're going to talk about space travel. Or we could talk about Conspiracy Corner.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. These are like my two favorite things.
Yeah.
Let's start with the conspiracy.
Okay, dude. So I heard about this thing this week, and this is actually kind of an old story. It was published in Vice February 26, 2013, and it's based off of a Reddit thread in r/Houston. So I hope Rob Zip had something to do with this. But apparently there is this hotel room in Houston that is super creepy, super weird, super Illuminati, and was not meant to be found out, but somebody found out about it.
Illuminati latte.
I love it. An Illumin latte. Is that okay? That one doesn't really work. So anyway, this person, let's give them their due here. It is it's u/JoelLikesMusic, said that he stays at this hotel called the Zaza in Houston frequently for business. But his friend, while he was in there, got put in this room. Now, this place is known to have themed rooms, but he got put into this normal style room. They thought they were going to get this normal style room, but then they ended up with this dungeon closet. So this room is super weird. It's got the bed is chained to the wall. There's like a two-way mirror. Or is it a one-way? Is it referred to as one-way mirror? It's a mirror that you could see through one side of it.
I think that's
a two-way mirror. Yeah. There's like a two-way mirror in the wall. There's all of this weird artwork. And then the weirdest part is that there's a photograph of J. Comeux, C-O-M-E-A-U-X, who is a former oil executive hanging above the bed. And it's like his picture is like a corporate picture. It's like the picture that would be hanging up in like the offices of whatever corporation he's a part of. And then there's a lot of like skulls and bones all around the room. And there's also some hand painted mutilated figures who are in the room as well. I think what this does to me is that like I got really into this, Jesse.
Okay.
The reason why I got really into it is because conspiracy theories are fucking awesome. But I don't think they're awesome for, like, the reasons that most people think. Like, do I think there's probably a logical explanation for this? Yes, I do. But I also love the idea of there being more to this world than I think there is.
Well, what I'm getting from this is that the room is the conspiracy theory room.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Like, that's the theme of the room.
Uh-huh. I like that idea. The problem is that, oh man, I mean, it's great marketing, right? They talked to the director of e-marketing for this. Vice went ahead and called the director of e-marketing for this Hotel Zaza. And she said that basically it's just one of their themed room. It's called the Hard Times Room, and it's supposed to evoke a feeling of being in prison. But the only problem with that is that there's really nothing in there that's about being in prison.
You know, when you have your body mutilated.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's just
by a Texas oil man.
It's just so weird, man. Like, there's so many things about it. Like, of course, this got posted on Reddit, and people went crazy about it. So this is at the Hotel Zaza, and apparently, the guy who owns the hotel, his name is Benji Holmesy, and he was in the same fraternity as Chromeu, who's the guy whose picture is up on the wall. And then apparently this fraternity, which is called Delta Kappa Epsilon, has a secret society within the fraternity called the Zeta Zeta chapter. And what's the name of the hotel? Zaza.
There you go.
There it is. Could be that. The other thing is that there's...
Yeah, it's like the Skull and Bones thing.
Yeah. And then the other thing is one of these weird paintings in the wall is signed by a guy named Benny H. And the guy who owns the hotel is named Benji Holmesy. And
see, this conspiracy theory doesn't go very far. It sort of just circles around this one fraternity.
Well, what it does is it basically what people are speculating is that because it has this oil man, what's his name here? Chromeu, J. Chromeu, Chromeu. It's like totally like a True Detective name. It's like all French and stuff. It ends with an X. because this guy is overseeing the room, people are saying this is like an Illuminati evil sex dungeon of some sort. Because, like, the crazy thing about this room is that it has the reason why people think that this is a two-way mirror is because the mirror is built into the wall. There's a brick wall, which butts up against the head of the bed. And the thing about it is, like, all of the bricks end at the side of the mirror. It's not like the mirror is hung on the wall. It's like the mirror is built into the wall.
Right.
Which would suggest that it's a two-way mirror. And then this dude's face is like above the mirror. And apparently this guy's company, holds a lot of like events at the hotel. And apparently this guy, Benji Holmesy, who owns the hotel, lived in this room for like 2 months. So I don't know. It's just,
like I said, I mean, it's not much of a conspiracy theory.
Well, why not?
It's just two frat guys fucking around.
Well, I guess, but it's like, I guess the darker side of this is like, this is some kind of human sacrifice room. This is where people jump with this kind of thing.
Right.
It's like, this is a place where people go, they do stuff in the room, and then they are watched by other people through the two-way glass.
And I'm not ruling that out either.
Uh-huh.
That could probably, it could be both. But well, it's like, we have like our own private sex dungeon room.
Yeah, basically.
Because we're fraternity guys, and everyone knows, fraternity guys, especially if you're in a secret society within a fraternity, you're a weirdo.
You gotta be a super weirdo.
You must be really weird.
Yeah, like, so I joined a fraternity when I was in college, but, like, the fraternity that I joined, like, they, like, insured us right at the beginning. Like, there's not, you're not going to have to do any super weird stuff for the initiation here. Or for, like, the hazing. And, like, there was hazing, but it, like, wasn't, like, hazing. It was, like, you'd have to do push-ups and stuff. Like, and dudes yelled at you and got really drunk and, like, yelled at you. Like, that was the worst the hazing got. I watched this stuff, like.
So it's, like, my dad.
Yeah, basically. They're, like, we're going to be, like, your dad.
Just kidding.
And you have to wear like the uniform was terrible. You had to wear like a uniform, like a pledge uniform, which was really lame. But
ask me about my wiener.
I love it. Yeah, that was it. It was a t-shirt that said that. It was a tank top, actually. Anyway, it was a one-piece bathing suit. So, but the weird thing about this is apparently this guy got booked in this room and then, like, called down to the front desk and was like, is this room, like, this room is super weird. And they were like, oh, you're not supposed to be booked in that room. In fact, the lady at the front desk apparently told him, no one is supposed to be booked in that room. Which adds...
Right, they're told to say that. it's their goof. It's like their goof. You know when you've worked somewhere for too long and you have all these inside goofs?
Yeah.
And you, like, act weird around the new guy because of he doesn't know the in-joke.
Right.
That's what this is. It's the goof room.
Wow. I think you're completely right here, dude. Man, more rational heads prevail here.
Like, this I have makes a so conspiracy thing.
Well, let me. I just want to wrap this up. This makes so much sense because this is a themed hotel. They got a ton of publicity off of this. I think the thing that makes this the creepiest is the dude's picture hangs above the bed. But he's obviously friends with the owner, so he's probably like put it in there.
What makes it not weird, like not a conspiracy, is that they're friends. It'd be like if you and I had a hotel and put up a picture of Jordy in one of the rooms.
Please, let
it would
us
be
do
the
that.
Funniest thing in the world to us, but yeah. Other people would be like, "What the hell?
Who is that guy? Is that H.P. Lovecraft?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely, but it makes so much sense. Like, this is a hotel. They're trying to make money. Obviously, they are a business. They have a bunch of themed rooms, and then this was their viral marketing ploy. The person that they talked to here is the director of e-marketing.
Right, yeah. Most hotels probably don't have a director of e-marketing.
Yeah.
At least, so, not like boutique bed and breakfasts.
So if you want to have a director of e-marketing and you want to market your hotel to a national audience, you put this shit up on Reddit at, like, somebody had been booked in this room and they weren't supposed to.
Right, yeah.
You light off every conspiracy corner and then every ghost hunter from here to Maine wants to go stay at this hotel.
From here to Maine.
Yeah. You're completely right, man. This is genius.
Yeah, this it seems pretty transparent to me.
I was listening to another podcast. They were talking about this. I got all excited about it because I love conspiracies.
You went too deep.
I went too deep, man. You just got to be like a little rock. You're just gonna skip across the surface.
I'm the Scully to your Mulder.
Mm.
So I had a conspiracy moment.
Let's hear it.
And I got onto it because I was watching the People's Court, as I want to do.
Of course.
And during the commercial break, there's one of those like, "Do you have mesothelioma? We will sue anyone." And it was like, "I'm Dr. Alex Ferrara." I was like, "Wait a minute, Dr. Alex is, or not doctor, but Alex Ferrara, the lawyer on that commercial, he used to have a court TV show called Judge Alex."
Hmm.
So yeah. So I looked him up. I was like on his Wikipedia page looking him up. I was like, "Oh, that's weird. That guy sentenced two people to death." Like now, and then he went on to do like small claims court on TV. That kind of shook me a little bit. And then I was like, I remembered hearing that Judge Joe Brown had presided over the James Earl Ray case.
I didn't
know that.
The
man who assassinated Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., right?
Right.
So I was like, "Oh, I want to look up Judge Joe Brown." It turns out he presided over the final appeal of the James Earl Ray case. So it's not like he was like the one who convicted him or anything.
Well, he's the one who put the last nail in the coffin.
Well, here's the thing. He didn't, because he was removed as judge because Judge Joe Brown went to the Congressional Black Caucus and told them that there's no way that the rifle was the murder weapon.
Mm.
Isn't that weird?
Mm.
And then he also went on to be a TV small claims court judge.
Wow.
So I guess the idea is that, like, I mean, the conspiracy is that, like, the CIA killed him or something. But it's like, the judge said that there's no way that the rifle was the murder weapon.
I think that the conspiracy here is that if you piss off the CIA, you have to go to Judge Purgatory, which is daytime television. this makes me wonder what Judge Judy did.
Oh, damn.
How did Judge Judith Scheinlin piss off the CIA?
Yeah, she was originally like a Soviet spy.
Yeah, she was.
That was sent to assassinate like George Herbert Walker Bush, but they caught her, and now she does.
She tried to overthrow the House Un-American Activities Committee during the blacklist period. And they're like, "Judge Judy, I sentence you to 30 years of daytime television."
Yeah.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. No wonder she's so pissed. I also wonder what Bird did. You know, the bailiff, Bird?
Oh, yeah. Is it Bert?
I thought it was Bird. I think that might be just her inflection of his name.
Right.
Maybe I feel like Judge Judy's the type of person who would get your name a little bit wrong on purpose.
Thank you, Bailiff Jorsey.
What? Bird, come here. It's Bert. Bird.
Bird, tell Jorsey to get in here.
Oh, man. I just love these conspiracy theories. I like how you could debunk this shit immediately. Like, you saw through it immediately. You're like, oh, Director V Marketing? Okay, I get it. Makes sense.
I don't know. It was too insular to be a true conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I mean, people...
like a great conspiracy theory branches out. Mm. You know, it has long tentacles that reach into different dark corners. But this one sort of like went around this little fraternity circle.
That's true. That's true. It is. I mean, it's interesting too because like Houston is an oil town, and so it's like there's like this idea of like big old money. And big old money means big old conspiracies.
Yeah. Anywhere there's money, there's a conspiracy to be found.
I like it, man. But how does the listener know that we aren't just playing into this conspiracy?
Yeah, exactly. The Illuminati got to us.
Well, you don't get a podcast of this stature without signing your contract with the devil.
Right.
And a human sacrifice.
By which we mean Big Pharma and Monsanto.
Yeah, I guess.
The 2012 McDonald's cheeseburger today.
All I'm saying is record the name Monsanto and then listen to it backwards.
Flu vaccine.
All right, Justin, let's do some trivia. What do you say?
Aye.
Let's do it. I'm going to roll a six-sided die. It's a 3. It's history, baby.
All right.
I am obliged to let everybody know that Jesse does have a bachelor's degree in history as we do this category. Jesse, this first question is for you. What is the first word of the text in the Declaration of Independence?
We.
I'm going to go with in. When? Oh,
combined. We in.
God damn it. And it's when in the course of human events. I took out the when. I just went with in the course of human events. Fuck me. Fuck you, Thomas Jefferson. A little wordy there, Jeff.
Who starts a sentence with a when?
Exactly. That's not a question.
Probably pronounce that when.
Yeah, I like it. I like that you're starting to... It's not even a question. You're just starting with when. Welcome to the 21st century, Tommy. Tommy J. Jesse, this question's for me. What empire ruled England in AD 120? I'm just going to go with the Romans.
AD
120.
I'll just say the Celts.
Oh, it's a Roman Empire, baby.
Yeah.
Just this question's for you. What royal house did Henry VIII belong to?
Oh, Jesus. Was he a Tudor?
You can just go with Tudor?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Windsor, but I think you're right. It is Tudor.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's actually what the TV show The Tudors is about, Henry VIII. So...
There you go.
You didn't even need to know that, Jesse. Nice job. Although I was thrown off because I saw his armor at the Windsor Castle when I went to Windsor Castle. And the great thing about Henry VIII's armor is that he had such bad syphilis that the codpiece is gigantic. And they used to like stuff it with cotton to like pad it from pad his swollen balls from the armor.
Yeah, the pass sucked.
Yeah, the pass was bad. If you had syphilis, everyone knew it, even if you were king. Jesse, this question is for me. Who was the prosecuting attorney in the Scopes Monkey trial? I'm going to go with Judge Judith Shineland.
I should know this, but I don't. I'll go with Warren.
So close. William Jennings Bryan.
Mm.
Very close.
Sounds like a basketball player.
Yeah, it sounds like a running back or like a defensive lineman.
Right.
Like Jennings Stash Bryan on the back of the jersey. I can see it. All right, Jesse, that means we go to a geography tiebreaker. Whoever's geographically closest to the answer wins. And the question is, what is the spectacular California coastline south of Monterey? I think we need a different one. That one's a little tough to be geographic. Although I'm pretty sure it's Big Sur. Yeah, I got that one right. Okay, Jesse, this question for you. What bordering country is due north of Costa Rica?
Costa Rica, due north, I'll say Honduras.
I'm going to go, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to go with Panama. Nicaragua! I was going to say Nicaragua!
Who's closer?
I think, let's see here.
You said Panama?
I said Panama, you said Honduras. Nicaragua is between Costa Rica and Honduras. You are geographically closest to the answer, sir. So good on you. I was going to say Nicaragua. But neither of us.
Wait, can you?
What?
Oh.
No, it's between Costa Rica and Honduras. Panama is south of Costa Rica.
Right.
So you were...
You were still geographically closest.
Oh, you're right. No, I wasn't. I was geographically closest to Costa Rica, but you were geographically closest to the correct answer, which was Nicaragua.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
It's that little reversal. It wasn't Costa Rica. It was Nicaragua was the correct answer.
Central America is a freaking weird place.
I love it, man.
It's just all these little countries that are like, I mean, it's like an umbilical cord or something.
Yeah, you have Belize, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and Panama. And it's all like the size of Wyoming or smaller.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like America's little European pocket.
It kind of is.
I love it, man. I really want to go to Belize. I've always wanted to go there. Because it's an
I've always wanted to eat the new Hot Pocket European pocket. It's filled with Nutella and Swiss cheese.
Yeah, and it's in a baguette.
The European pocket.
Yeah, like, Belize, though. Belize is a country. It's in Central America, and then English is the official language.
You better Belize it. Cousin John had a shirt that said, "You better Belize it," in high school.
Okay, so this is the weird thing to me. I'm just now looking. I never look at this. Like you said, Central America is kind of a no man's land for me. So Cuba is like pretty close to southern Florida. And then the western tip of Cuba is really close to Cancun, Mexico. Cancun, Mexico is as far away as it is from Cuba as it is from Belize. And then once you hit Belize, you are just straight up down the Central American turnpike from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, and Panama. So it's all a little closer than you think it is.
Yeah.
Also, I did not realize Aruba was so far down. I have no idea about this part of the world. And I've been to Trinidad.
That Curacao? Is that where the liquor Curacao comes from?
Well, I think it's Curacao, right?
Curacao, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There's like a liqueur called Curacao. And you're listening to Eric and Jesse look at a map.
The new podcast coming, The Bald Move. No, there was something tied to Scottish independence. They had tried to set up a colony in Central America, and that bankrupted them, and that's why they became a part of the United Kingdom. Have you heard about this?
No.
I'm trying to figure out which country it was. Apparently it's called the Darien Scheme. So, yeah, it's Panama. Scotland tried to open up a place called New Edinburgh.
A shitty name for a Central American.
I know. In Panama. It was this place called Caledonia. So apparently they tried to set up Caledonia in what is now Panama, and it bankrupted Scotland, and then they had to become a part of the United Kingdom. So we could have had the Isthmus of Darien instead of Panama. And it could have been the New Edinburgh Canal. Man, colonial, like, Imperial Europe is so interesting to me. People just walked around with flags and they were like, this is now ours.
Yeah, it's great that there's some, like, countries that really fucked with imperial power, too. Like, Panama, and then the Panama Canal was such, like, a big disaster for so long. Mm-hmm. And, like, Ethiopia was constantly scorning the invaders in Afghanistan. Like, there are these areas that it's just like, no.
It's just crazy, man.
You will not colonize me.
It blows my mind. The imperial world is so interesting to me. And, like, America's part of it. We have, like, a bunch of little islands off in the South Pacific that nobody ever talks about.
Right.
Like the Marianas Islands, I think. It's all very crazy. Once again, this is Jesse and Eric talk about maps. Map talk. All right, Jesse, let's talk about space instead. What do you say? I figure we should do a little science drop here.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great stuff!
Great stuff.
Yeah.
So, dude, hear about the science news this week? About the Virgin Atlantic plane that crashed?
Yeah, I did.
It's pretty crazy
shit. And there was that other rocket that blew up.
Oh, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, an unmanned rocket. No one was hurt or killed or anything. But that was on a resupply mission to the ISS.
Yeah, and I think that was a private rocket, too. It wasn't a national rocket. This is so interesting because it popped up on my Facebook news feed, and I know I'm not supposed to click on that stuff, but I did anyway because the title was with the human toll of these disasters, should we explore space? And I was just like, God damn it. Like, what happened to the greatest generation, man? Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I have no trouble, and I know that you're probably on board with me here, that the greatest generation is the greatest generation in American history.
I was working on a joke similar to this.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so it is very sad, and I'm not trying to discount the fact that one of the pilots died in this Virgin Atlantic, or this Virgin Space, whatever. Virgin Galactic. One of them died in this Virgin Galactus space disaster that happened this week. They were doing a test flight. The thing malfunctioned and basically barreled directly into the Earth. Surprisingly, though, only one of the two guys died. The other guy's, like, in critical condition. Which I'm like, you survived that? Like, that's pretty good odds from a rocket crash. Anyway, just saying, like, not to mention these guys are test pilots. Like, I have a feeling if you want to be a test pilot, then you have to be pretty okay with dying in a plane crash.
Yeah, it's a pretty ballsy occupation.
It's ballsy, and like it is, like it's baller status. Like people should be buying you drinks. Like that is and these aren't even like planes; these are like space rockets. So it's like space rocket test pilot, and then bull rider. Like that's the rank. but anyway, this guy died, and in this plane crash, and people are like, "Well, should we still try to do this kind of thing? Because like people are dying." It's like, people came out of World War II, they got their houses, and then like 5 years later, they're like, let's go to the fucking moon, motherfuckers. Like, what has happened to us? What was the joke you were trying to craft? I'm not trying to step in on your stuff.
Sort of the premise is like how my dad always complains about millennials he works with.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so sort of, I'm thinking like, all right, baby boomers, you got America at its prime. We were like the number one in science, number one in manufacturing. We were putting people on the moon. Mm-hmm. And if it was a car, okay, now you owned it. Now you're handing it over and it's crap and you're trying to blame us for it. Like we took it for one test drive and brought it back and you're like, oh no, it was great when we gave it to you.
Yeah.
It was in perfect condition, but like the fender's falling off and...
Yeah. Like, what year was your dad born? Was he born in the 50s?
I don't know. 50-something.
Yeah. My parents were born in the 50s as well. Like, I feel like people get so pissed off at us, but it's like, there's no wonder we're weenies. We are so far removed from these people that did awesome things. Like you said, I mean, this was like World War II was won on the back of innovation, for Christ's sakes. Like, I was talking to Lydia about this, like, and I don't mean to get too political here, but people are like, oh, you know, unions ruin companies. It's like unions only ruin companies when the companies ruin themselves. Like, the reason the American car industry went into the toilet was not because unions drug down the car industry. It's because they decided we're not going to innovate for like 30 years.
Yeah, they stopped making good cars.
Like, they took a look at these Japanese cars called Hondas, and they were like, look at these little things. They're basically motorcycles with four wheels. Guess what, guys? People want that shit because it still runs 30 years later.
Right.
Anyway, I don't mean to get on a soapbox here, but it's like, you have the greatest generation. They win World War II. They revolutionize America. They invent fucking computers. They make kick-ass cars. Like, 1960s cars are freaking awesome cars. This was the decade that brought us the Mustang, like, brought us the Corvette, like, all of this stuff. These are great cars. These are, like, the hallmark of American car building is, like, the 1960s. They also went to the moon. They said, the moon is, like, great. If people went to the moon today, they'd be like, I don't know how we get to the moon. I don't know how we would do it. They did this stuff with, like, slide rules. Like,
right. Yeah.
They did all of this shit, and then they had kids, and then their kids had kids, and then their kids had kids, and their kids had kids. And this is the whole thing of people saying, you know, America was a lot better when I was a kid. It's because it was, dude. People were fucking motivated.
Well, here's where the joke, like, America was better when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Now it's garbage. You're leaving out the middle part where you were in charge of it.
I love it.
You guys were in charge of it, and now it's ruined.
Yeah.
And it was great when you got it, but you're blaming millennials.
Yeah.
You're the ones that ruined it, baby boomer. You screwed it up, and you didn't raise your kids right, and now you're mad at the lazy kids.
Yeah.
And we're like, we don't have anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you're living in a world where, like, copy machines were made, great American cars were made, computers were made, this industry is developed in a huge...
Copy machines.
Copy machines are a big deal, buddy. Okay. All this stuff is made, and then you're just...
list of innovations.
And then you're just building the... You're building off of this innovation that happened during this time period, and you're just building and building and building. These industries get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden they all collapse because you stop innovating. Yeah. And then you blame us. And like,
I think this next generation, our generation, is going to be able to do something cool with it, especially because, well, like, when we came out of college, we were hit by the recession.
Yeah.
But the recession was sort of a reality check,
mm-hmm.
and I think for us growing up in it, we understand that you need to be a little more careful with spending.
Yeah.
And you just need to manage finances a little better. And, like, I'm looking at, I was in Bremerton today, and, like, I went into this awesome, like, screen printing shop. And it's just, like, a guy who's, like, my age and has set up, like, this really cool screen printing shop. And they're, like, doing things by hand and they're totally being craftsmen about it. And I'm
right.
Like, right on, guys. You're killing it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to be... I'm going to sound like an elitist here. But you look at these places, like, I don't know. Like, you know, this whole Kentucky Senate race thing got a lot of national news because it's Mitch McConnell here. But the person who was running against him, I think her name's Grimes, she had like this thing where she's like, I disagree with Obama on coal. And it's like, I understand that, like, if you live in an area where coal is the only industry in that area, like if you live in rural West Virginia or Eastern Kentucky or whatever, like, you care a shit ton about coal because coal is your only industry. But you also have to have the wherewithal to look at that and say, this is not sustainable. One industry sustaining an entire community is not sustainable at all.
Right. You gotta look at the bigger picture.
Right. And if you want to provide for the people and you want to develop skills that maybe you could take elsewhere. So, like, say the coal dries up and you have a great, yeah, it dries up. Yeah.
Coal's supposed to be dry.
But you've built this kick-ass screen printing company. You could take those skills and go to Brooklyn and make a fucking shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I agree. And we need to get more refocused on, like, community economies that are self-sufficient and self-supporting.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I, like I said, I don't mean to get too political, but like, I live in the probably the most progressive city in America. Like, you could say San Francisco, but you look at the policies that have been passed in the city of Seattle over the last 3 years by popular vote, and like, this is like the bluest, the truest blue place in America. And yet, for some reason, gigantic industries are coming here, gigantic innovative industries are coming here to thrive. And if you want to say that, like, our socialist policies are turning people away, that argument is completely gone because we've created an environment of innovation.
Yeah, and especially for, like, a business, I think for all business, but especially for one where you do... are trying to invent things, change things. You need employees who are looked after and who can live a comfortable lifestyle. I truly believe, like, a happy employee is a productive employee.
Yeah.
And most of those sort of laws seem to be about workers actually being able to have
a life
standard of living.
Or be able to... I mean, these are tenants that... Our captains of industry, like Henry Ford and whatever his name, Hershey. like Hershey built an entire city so that his workers could live comfortably while making chocolate.
Right.
Like,
he went full Willy Wonka.
He went full Willy Wonka. And then, like, Henry Ford, and I know he's got a lot of personal issues that people have a lot of problems with, and that's fine. But he built a product, and he said, I'm going to make automobiles that my employees can purchase.
Right.
I'm not going to make, like, looking out for the workers is not a bad thing. Like,
no.
Seattle has the highest minimum wage in the country, and yet we have Amazon, which, if you come to Seattle, you can go to a neighborhood called South Lake Union, which used to be a bunch of warehouses, and they turn it into the swankiest shit I've ever seen. There's a Tesla dealership on every corner in South Lake Union. And this is in this crazy place where we literally have a socialist on our city council. She ran as a socialist and she got elected as a socialist. Like, I'm sorry, but it irks me when people are like, these liberal things are screwing up America. It's like, well, in Seattle, things are thriving. So maybe it's not all terrible. Maybe you just need a little bit more innovation. Sorry. I'm on a soapbox.
No, I agree. And, like, your company is just a bunch of people working together.
Yes.
So when you have someone who's having a pretty shitty week because they can't pay their bills, it's going to affect your company.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, certain companies are just treat their company as a form of wealth extraction.
Yeah.
Like Walmart does. But I think for long-term success, you got to have people who are happy coming to work for you because that's how they're going to contribute the most.
Yeah, and you have to have innovation. I mean, the idea here is that happy people make things that they love. And, like, the idea of that is so removed. It's like the people, if people are making products that they love, they can pass that love on to other people. People want to buy products that make them feel good when they purchase them. And the fact of the matter is, if you have a joyless workplace, people aren't going,
right.
That joy is not going to translate through your product to other people. People want to buy things because it makes them happy. I think that's great. I love going out and buying a board game that I've been super excited about for a long time. The day that I buy Dead of Winter, which is a board game that I've wanted for a really long time, I'm going to be buying the passion and work of whoever put all of their blood, sweat, and tears into getting that game made. Like, I'm at the infancy stages of playtesting my board game, and, like, I have so much more respect for every board game that hits the shelf because I'm doing that. And, like, that translates. That makes it valuable to me as a consumer. When you erase that value to the worker, you erase the value to the consumer.
Right.
Did this start off as a space conversation?
I'm in a craftsmanship career.
Yeah.
And I mean, it shows when it comes to brewing, and I think it shows when it comes to almost anything.
Yeah. I'm with you, buddy. Yeah. You know, we could roll into this. You don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, but, did you read the news about 10 Barrel Brewing in Bend?
I did.
They got bought by Anheuser-Busch.
Yes.
And Anheuser-Busch, their whole statement is like, we're very excited about, you know, being in this Northwest company and blah, blah, blah. And like all the 10 barrel guys did a video. They're like, we hope you still like our beer. We're still going to have our brewing tradition and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, if I have the choice between an Anheuser-Busch beer, which you have every time you go to the grocery store, like even if, like, what are some Anheuser beers? Is that, what's the one that starts with an L that's from Minnesota? Is that an Anheuser beer?
Like Lagunitas. Or, sorry, not Lagunitas. Wow. Wow. That is not true, what I just said. Leinenkugel.
Yeah, Leinenkugel. Or
Goose Island.
Shock Top? Oh, Blue Moon is, isn't it?
So Blue Moon is Miller Coors.
Miller Coors.
And then Shock Top is AB InBev.
Yeah. So if I have a choice for any of these beers, I have plenty of other beers that...
Yeah, when I heard that news, my immediate thought was, well, I'll never have another 10-barrel beer again.
Mm-hmm.
I never particularly liked 10-barrel
that
much.
Yeah, me neither, actually.
But now it's just an extra, like, well, there's one less reason for me to get it.
Absolutely, and from a craft beer perspective, it's like... You got plenty of other choices. That's the thing I love about craft beer industry is that... it's not craft breweries competing against other craft breweries. It's about all craft breweries competing against the big guys. So
right.
Joining the big guy, it's like, okay, well, I got all these other choices. I know what team I'm on. You've chosen your team. I've chosen mine. And those are not
the same
team.
I just wish they had the courage to label, like,
yeah.
Okay, I want every six pack to say owned by Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
Or like a product of Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah. Anyway,
but they're not going to because they're trying to hide behind brands.
Yeah, it's disappointing, and
that's why Shock Top pisses me off so bad. And Shock Top's not good.
It's not good at all. And also Blue Moon.
Blue Moon's actually good.
I don't know about Blue Moon. Yeah,
I haven't had it in a long time. Yeah. It was sort of one of my intro beers.
Oh, it was.
Back when
it was
I was
an intro
21.
Beer for me too. I mean, Blue Moon is a beer that a lot of moms like to buy, and because it or. I'm sorry. I sounded demeaning when I said that. I'm just saying, like, people who don't know about beer like to buy. Like, they like to buy Blue Moon because it's like a crafty beer, but it's like good and it tastes good and you could do that. But it gets a little bummed when people are like, oh yeah, I got a Blue Moon. You want a Blue Moon? It's like, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'll drink it, of course. I mean, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth here, but like, a Blue Moon is not a craft beer.
No, and there's like the sandwich restaurant that I saw the other day, and it was like, we have craft beers like Roger's or like Manny's, which mm-hmm. is a craft beer from Seattle, or Blue yep. Moon. I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Those are not the same thing.
It's by definition not a craft beer.
Yeah.
I'm not being elitist here.
It's just true. That'd be like saying
the definition of craft beer excludes Blue Moon.
Yeah, I know. It's like if you had, like, there's this Dodge commercial on nowadays where they have, like, the Dodge, they're, like, lauding the exploits of the Dodge brothers in the roaring 20s.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's like, I kind of wish that I had lived in a time where you could start a car company. Like, you just can't do that anymore. You cannot start an automobile company.
What about Tesla?
Well, yeah, if you have Elon Musk and, like, the billions behind PayPal funding you, then you could do that. But yeah, I mean, like, I thought about it because I was like, I would just love to, like, actually, like, a kind of a dream when I was a kid. I was really into cars when I was a kid, and I was like, it'd be so cool to start a car company. It's impossible to start a car company.
Yeah, and this is why it's not so simple as liberal versus conservative,
yeah.
Because, like, a lot of the government regulations are sort of a liberal thing, but mm-hmm. government regulations is what makes it impossible to have a startup car company.
Well, yeah, and you also just need billions of dollars to, like, make
even
an assembly
if,
line.
Well, even if you didn't, say you wanted to have, like, I'm just going to build one car at a time and sell them
mm-hmm.
yeah. off of, you know, out of my own house, the government will say, whoa, 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 you have to destroy 10 cars of that model in crash tests.
Yeah.
Crash tests save lives, but they also make it impossible for you to make sort of like a boutique automobile manufacturer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all murky. It's not like
well, it
liberal
is murky,
versus
but
conservative. There's gray area for everything.
And it makes sense, man. I mean, like, I don't want fucking death things to drive down the highway. I mean, you could see both
right,
sides
yeah.
of it.
You know how many people died in those Dodge Brothers first cars?
You're totally right.
So,
but the other thing about it is that, like, we need to stop painting ourselves. And Jesse, I know that you've gotten to this point, but we need to stop painting ourselves as liberals and conservatives. And, like, you could disagree with people and not be painted as a villain.
Well, even just labeling yourself as a liberal or conservative is all of that is intellectual laziness.
Yep.
It's just you wanting to have a set of ideals and not really have to think about individual issues. You're allowed to just buy it out wholesale and prescribe some sort of identity to yourself and not have to really critically think about anything.
It's so much like sports. It's crazy, dude. It really is. Because, like, I can be a Seahawks fan and I can tell you every second stringer on the Seahawks, but I'm just as much of a Seahawks fan as the casual person who pops on the game six times a year and roots for them in the playoffs. And but guess what? Our fandom is worth the same. And when you have a two-party system, it's no better than sports because you're just sticking to your guns and you're voting for the red team or the blue team. And whichever team comes out on top, you feel really good about it. You get the endorphin rush. You're going to parties. You're excited. But, like, it's really no better than sports.
Yeah, the two-party system is what, like, America is based off of what we were talking about this. Innovation comes from competition.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the Japanese car manufacturers have such a boom? Because they were doing better.
Yeah.
And we have Dodge, Ford, Chrysler. We also have Tesla. We have Mitsubishi. We have Ferrari.
Yeah.
There's, hundreds of car companies. Well, maybe not hundreds, but still.
Dozens.
Like, just talking about the things that get us from point A to B, we have dozens of options.
Yeah. Yet,
no, just two.
Just two
parties should do it. That should cover every nuanced viewpoint.
You're awesome. Absolutely right, man. Like, basically, once GM became GM, you had Ford and GM, and those were your two. I mean, you have Dodge, which is whatever. Dodge Pontiac. But you basically had Ford and GM, and those were your two car companies, and they were just competing against each other, and they found mediocrity. And in that space, Honda popped up, Volkswagen popped up, BMW popped up. Like, all of these other car companies said, hey, we can come in and get an edge on the market.
Right.
And
yeah, it's
and those two, so. That's a great example, man. Because look at this two-party system, and there's just nobody to root for because of the stagnation that these two groups of people have caused.
I would vote for a party called the Stagnation, where it was just a bunch of male deer.
I think that's a show in Vegas, Stagnation.
Yeah, but like I go to the grocery store to buy a beer, and I could select from any one of 50 different local breweries. But then I go to the, if you want to talk politics, it's like, well, are you a red dude or a blue dude?
Mm-hmm.
It's
It doesn't translate to any, even the NFL, dude. You got 32 teams to choose 32 from.
32 teams, yeah. Exactly. That's what makes the NFL great. Every year, you have 32 teams, and they all want to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's
but
the way it should
be. We have two teams in the Super Bowl in the NFL of politics.
It'd be like if New York and L.A., we're in the Super Bowl. It was a two-team league, and they're in the Super Bowl every 4 years.
Yeah.
That would not be exciting. You are completely right, man. That's like on the ballot this year. We actually had a socialist candidate in the state of Washington running for Congress, running for the House of Representatives against a Democrat.
Yeah, there's always third parties. There's Libertarian, Fish Party, there's a Bull Moose Party.
But in Washington State, the way that it works is there's a runoff, there's an election that's a pre-election, and the two that come out of that become the two running. So you, in Washington State, you could have two Democrats running against each other, you could have two Republicans running against each other. They just have formulated in Washington State so that if there are two people on the ballot, those two people are the two people who get the top two votes in the primary, regardless of party. So
right.
In this year's primary or whatever, and the way that they were discerning these people, you had a Democrat and a socialist. And it's like, I voted for the socialist because, like, come on, let's just get some people who have a different idea. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that I'm a socialist because I voted for the socialist. It just means that, like, I want people with different ideas and who are willing to stand up and say, hey, guys, I have a different idea. You're completely right here. You have you have choice in everything except for politics in this country. It's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. There's 16 different types of toilet paper.
Yeah. I get analysis paralysis every time I try to buy toilet paper. I'm like weighing options. I'm like, do I want the quilted? The quilted's good, but it's like $3 more. Like, what do I want to spend? They have a whole fucking aisle at Fred Meyer full of toilet paper.
Yeah. Like, you know what? People are always like, you should spend good money on your mattress. You spend a third of your life there, mm-hmm. you know. I'd say spend good money on your toilet paper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're rubbing it against your butthole multiple times a day.
Right.
Splurge.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm completely with you. That is a splurge-worthy thing. All right,
treat
Jesse.
Yourself.
Good. I love talking about this stuff with you, man. My favorite thing about this is that I know that you and I agree on a lot of things, but we also can disagree on things and we could still be BFFs.
Yeah, and that's, yeah.
Like, I don't
think
that's
another thing. Like, people need to. We need real discourse.
Yes.
And we need to shy away from intellectual lazy shortcuts like party platform ideals and just like echo chambers and political correctness. All of those are just intellectual shortcuts so you don't actually ever have to think about anything.
Yeah, exactly. You just know what you know. You bought the sweatshirt. You know what team you're rooting for,
right? Exactly. You just look down.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, the bird ones,
the bird guys.
There's more NFL teams named after birds than there are viable political parties.
You are completely right.
There are more NFL teams named after. Sea-going, plundering warriors.
Mm-hmm. I was actually going there. We had the Raiders and the Buccaneers. Who else? Oh, the Vikings.
Vikings.
You're right. You are 100% correct. Oh, man. I love it, dude. There are more NFL teams named after large cats than there are political parties.
Yeah.
Bengals, Lions, Panthers, baby. Don't forget about the Jaguars.
Anyway, yeah, there's actually a lot of big cats.
Yeah, shout out to Jacksonville. Anyway, thanks, buddy. I appreciate this discourse. I really enjoy this stuff. And the other thing about this, like, and I don't mean to call out Aaron here, but I don't give a shit because we're ending. He can cancel us if he wants to. But, like, he's got a completely different...
We can cancel before our finale.
I would love it. Aaron should totally cancel us. But Aaron, I'm not going to call him out here, but he does have a completely different political view than we do. And we can agree on things and we can disagree on things. Isn't that amazing?
We can agree on things and we can disagree. Well, I'm right in between you and Aaron.
Yeah, I think so. I'm the lefty.
I don't call myself a Democrat.
That's fine.
I don't call myself a Republican.
Right.
If I had to choose, I would go Democrat just because of my upbringing, I guess.
But Aaron doesn't call himself a Republican either. Just to put that on the table. But I do feel like that's a good spectrum. Is like I'm on the true blue side. I'm on the baby blue ox side, and Aaron is on the other spectrum. I won't call him out for his political leanings, but you are in between those two. I think that's probably a good assumption. And guess what? We could still be friends.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. No, you and I get into some pretty spirited discussions when we've been drinking.
I love it.
And
then
I wake up the next morning and it's nothing. I remember once you and I were kind of going at it a little bit, and Tasha was like, "I can't believe you guys can talk like that and still be friends." Like, there's people where if I talk like that, we'd be mad at each other for weeks.
No, see, that's the thing. It's like it's not about I can't believe you could talk like that and still be friends. It's that we are friends because we can talk like that to each other.
Yeah, that's true.
If we could get to that point, I feel like that would help out so much. You know, this
that
America
point as a nation, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be fun if you could identify your friendships with the people that you could say whatever the fuck you want to them and they're still friends with you? Instead of just being offended all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. If you learn anything from this podcast before it gets canceled, we as Americans just stop getting offended.
Yeah.
Especially stop getting offended on other people's behalf. Yep. Like, the internet and Twitter tirades and these Twitter lynch mobs, everyone's getting offended. Like, Bill Maher was, like, there was a group of students at UC Davis who were trying to stop Bill Maher from giving a speech because he was too racist. It's like, yeah. Bill Maher's the most liberal person you're ever going to meet, and, like, he's not liberal enough for your college. So you want to ban him? It's like, shouldn't a college be an open arena of discussion? But you're like, right. No, you don't believe what we already believe, so you're not allowed to come talk here. It's like, you should be listening the closest to the person right. You disagree with the most.
Absolutely, man. And, like, if they are really saying shit that will, if they're saying shit that will work against them, then it's gonna work against them. Like, the fact of the matter is that people have a nice little moral gauge inside of them. They have a nice little moral compass. They understand what's right and what's wrong. And if you let the people who are fanatical say what they want to say, those wrong things are going to ping with people in that moral compass. But not everything right. that they say is probably going to ping on that moral compass. So let people talk, man. Agree with what you let agree with and talk. Disagree with. Whatever.
And
well, who cares?
Be okay with having your mind changed. People don't want to have their mind changed.
I feel like the analogy with sports is so strong. Because, like, I literally can't. I've tried. I cannot become a fan of any other team but the Seahawks. I've been a Seahawks right. fan for a very long time. But there is no reason why my loyalty to the Seahawks should be the same as my loyalty to the Democratic Party. There is right. zero reason for that. Because guess what? Whether the Seahawks win or lose, my life goes on. Politics can actually have an impact on the way that I live my life. I should care way more about what politicians are saying than what Pete Carroll is saying. And unfortunately, that's just not the case in this country.
Yeah, that's a human nature thing. That goes back to our monkey brains.
Monkey brains! Don't say monkey brains. That's controversial.
Sorry, I offended you, Gracious.
I'm very, very offended. Well, we could talk about this for a long time. Maybe we'll carry it over to our last show. Maybe we'll actually get a little personal with our personal arrogance final episode.
I'm gonna blaze up for episode 220 is gonna be episode 420 for me.
Yeah, who gives a shit, man? It's fucking legal.
Yeah.
In Oregon and Washington D.C. and Alaska now too. So.
Oh, did it pass in Alaska?
Dude, the entire
recreationally.
Yeah. Recreationally, the entire Northwest went from blue and red to straight green.
Except Idaho.
Don't worry. They're never gonna do it. All right, let's get to the Facebook roundup. We got Mike. He's starting off. He says, no longer having PA to ease my commutes. Worse than a punch in the face? Yes. 8 upvotes. Wow. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Priscilla says, guys, you're breaking my heart. I can't even leave a message because I might tear up. Please leave a message, Priscilla. We'd love to hear from you. She says, your podcasts were always entertaining, and you must tell us what's going to happen. Will I ever hear your voices after Gotham season is over? You will hear our voices, we promise. And in fact, we're working on a little collaboration to do a nerd culture podcast with Jim and Aaron. So please stay tuned for that. Because I feel like our powers combined, Captain Planet's got to pop up somewhere.
Right.
I call Earth, though. What are you calling? You're fire, definitely.
Heart.
Oh, come on. You're the fire crotch.
No, I want to be able to control monkeys. Then I can train the monkeys to steal the other kids' rings.
I like it. I'm Earth, though. You're not
taking
my. Then
I have full dominion over Captain Planet.
Priscilla
bow to me, Captain Planet.
Priscilla then says, oh, yeah, anyone up for donating toward laptops for my students? Please donate for laptops for Priscilla's students. She's a teacher, and kids should have fucking learning tools. So I'm all for that. Check that out. That's on the Facebook roundup. But you can go to donorchoose.org and, click on or find the help support Mrs. Torres's classroom, Ms. Torres's classroom, or you can find that in the Facebook roundup. Please help her get some laptops for the kids, for the kiddos. Sam says, hey guys, are either of you keeping up with the Walking Dead comic? Volume 22 is released this week and I can't wait to get my hands on volume 22.
That's insane.
I remember when that comic was released.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, though. I haven't been following it, but if you like The Walking Dead, you got to check it out. Leland says, I'm pretty sad that PA is coming to an end. On the other hand, Oregon just legalized herb, so after July 1st, I can legally smoke some of my sorrow away. Good luck, guys. Thanks for the good times and stay arrogant. You stay arrogant, too, Leland. It's the Green Northwest. JR says, series finale PA is upon us, which begs the question, which TV series finale will your final episode resemble? Seinfeld. Eric and Jesse end up in jail for wardrobe malfunction at PAX. Breaking Bad. This was my favorite. Jesse Wilsonberg only brewed to provide for his family until he got it, the Empire business, leaving everyone he loved and Eric Pinkman behind in the wrath.
Mm-hmm. Lovecraft just got bought by AB InBev, baby.
I know. I'm going to be chained to a fermenter. And then finally, Sopranos. Just pull the plug halfway through the Facebook roundup. A little Sopranos goof there for you, for the Soprano fans. Bobby says, I'm serious.
It'll be like the last episode of Firefly.
Yeah, well.
It wasn't really ever intended to be the last episode. We just drift off into space.
Still poignant, though. Well, here I am. Yeah. Bobby Jones says, I am seriously the podcast killer. This is like the fourth podcast that has ended pretty soon after I started listening. Sorry to do it to you guys. I suck. You do suck, Bobby.
You can go backwards in time pretty far on this one, though.
You can. Titus says, well, I found your podcast last year, and it has been a joy to listen to you guys. You have helped me through my yard work on Saturdays and my crappy Monday mornings. Thank you guys for all the laughs. And I wish you all the best in your next endeavors. Oh, and of course, stay arrogant and get off my back. Thank you, Titus. We appreciate it. Mars says, idea for a Justice League movie. I agree. The characters are too powerful, and that makes it boring. So follow that to its logical conclusion. What would all-powerful beings really act like? They're all kind of dicks. They're bored with fighting evil and not doing anything productive with their powers. Superman's a total womanizer. The story is told from the perspective of someone who idolizes them and goes to them for help with something big, but becomes disillusioned as he/she realizes that a bunch of pathetic egomaniacs they really are. You could still have all the big CGI superhero battles, but they're not actually accomplishing anything as a real hero/heroine discovers their own power to make a difference. Who would you cast in the movie? I feel like that's too big a question.
Yeah, that's a pretty big question.
Okay, we're just gonna have to do word association, Jesse, for the cast.
Okay.
Superman.
Baby.
Batman.
Bats.
Great. Aquaman.
I don't know where we're going with this.
Word association. You just have to say the first thing that comes to mind. Aquaman.
I just think the sea.
Okay, the sea plays Aquaman. Wonder Woman.
Ronda Rousey.
Like it. Cyborg.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Green Lantern.
Willem Dafoe.
You're rocking it, baby. I would watch the shit out of this stuff. Lex Luthor.
See, now I'm screwed up because I'm trying to think of a bald guy. Mm-hmm. As though you can't just shave someone's head. Bryan Cranston.
Love it. And then finally, our hero.
Oh. Our hero?
Yeah. The hero that Mars is talking about, who finds her own power to make a change.
Yeah. You tell me.
Seth Rogen? That was the first one that came to mind. I'm okay with that. We didn't do Martian Manhunter. I'm going to go with John Stewart. Word association. David says, get off my bat. Please make this happen. It's happening. It's called the Gotham Podcast. Find it on baldmove.com. Michael Merriman says, cheers to making a tough, good decision you guys have. You guys gave me courage to start my own podcast. For that, I always be grateful. Here's to new beginnings. Cheers, fellas. Michael, send us the link. We'd love to hear it. John says, have you heard of Next Glass? It's an app that suggests beers for you to try based on science. It's available now in the App Store. I haven't tried it out yet. Think it works? As long as they have the beers on tap where you're at, it would be okay.
yeah. Well, I just had a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Rodenbach Grand Cru, it suggests. Hmm. Okay.
If you want to sound like a pompous asshole to the bartender.
Excuse me, do you have a Rodenbach Grand Cru?
Oh, we got a Budweiser. Bud Light. We've got a 10 okay, barrel.
Close enough.
Sean says...
Have you ever had 10 barrel?
We got 10 barrel on tap. Sean says, things I want to do are things I wasn't into before I heard your podcast for the first time in the summer of 2012. Craft beer, D&D, and Hitchbot. My three favorite things on the planet in 2014 so far. Craft beer, D&D, and Hitchbot. Thanks for enlightening me, improving my life, and keeping me entertained while mixing countless gallons of salsa. Thank you so much, Sean. We appreciate you so much. And then he posted an awesome picture of him and Levi Regan.
Yeah, it's so funny, because I'm playing D&D with those guys now.
Uh-huh.
And, like, they mentioned they were meeting up. I was like, oh, they must be friends. I didn't realize that they only met through the podcast.
God, we got to go to Texas, man. I feel like Texas is fucking awesome. I mean, I know there's a lot of shit that goes down there, but I feel like certain pockets are just fucking great.
No, I would love to go to Tejas.
I want to go to Tejas. Rollo says, but Sean... Levi Regan has been dead for over 30 years.
Yes.
I love you, Rollo. Angela says, wait, what is happening? I feel like I should be sad about something. Angela, don't be sad about anything. Life is just a universe giving you a handshake. Rollo says, but Sean, Levi Regan has been dead for over 30 years again.
Oh, jeez.
Hello. Levi says, we shared beer and salsa. Rollo says, from beyond the grave, cracking jokes and staying in denial is easier than acknowledging this is your second last episode. This is the second to last episode. Spencer says, did my company pay you to retire so I'd be more productive at work? Eric, I know you're getting the X-Bone for Halo next week. Let's round up the PA gang and tear it up for the topic. If there was a PA video game where you guys were the heroes and your regular caller/listeners were the bad guys, what type of game would it be? What would be your powers? What type of villains would the listeners be? Stay arrogant. And if I could get you to do at least a monthly cast, get on my back. Well, stay tuned for the Ball Move Nerdcast. And that's too much. We're going to have to save that for I feel like that's a good last show topic so we could talk about all our listeners. So we're going to save that for the last show. And then Sean says, Hitchbot, hashtag Hitchbot is love, hashtag Hitchbot is life. Hitchbot, he's one of my faves. Jesse, we're going to do a little bit of recos, but before we do, I want to talk to you about baldmove.com. Guys, baldmove.com, it has been our umbrella. It's been the way that a lot of you have found us, and there's a lot of good stuff up there. You can check out Gotham Blotter 107, the Penguin's Umbrella, featuring me and Levi talking about the most recent episode of Gotham. You could talk about, you could hear about The Watching Dead, The Because Show, Bald Move TV podcast covering Homeland and The Nick. You got Up Yours Downstairs covering, Up Yours Down, or Downton Abbey. You got a ton of stuff there, including American Horror Story Podcast 404. The new Freak Show podcast. People are loving this Freak Show season. So check it all out, baldmove.com. And once we're gone, guys, keep checking out baldmove.com because that's where we'll be popping up. We'll be popping up our heads over at Bald Move. So we want to thank Aaron and Jim, obviously, for making us a part of baldmove.com, introducing us to a lot of you guys. And it's a good vibe, man. I like being a part of Bald Move. Makes me happy.
Yeah.
And then please stay in touch with us, guys. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. It's your last chance. 360-362-0024. Please do that. We'd love to hear from you for a final episode. Or if you're not so inclined to leave your voice, send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. And if you're super inclined to leave your voice, email us a voice memo at personalarrogance@gmail.com, and it'll come through crystal clear for the listener on our last show. This is your last chance. Please let us hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. You know, this show has been our show, but it's been your show as well. And we really want to make sure that your voice is on here, especially on our final episode next week. So make it happen, guys. We'd love to hear from you. Jesse, recos this week?
I don't really got any. Keep it real, keep it fresh, stay keep popping out there.
I got a couple of movies that I like to recommend. The first one being Zero Theorem. It's a new Terry Gilliam movie featuring, my mind is mush right now, too much Celebration Ale. It's the guy from Inglourious Basterds who played the Nazi, the German dude. He's really good, and he's in this movie Zero Theorem. It's a great commentary on like faith, and I really enjoyed it, so check that out. And then the other movie I want to recommend is Obvious Child, starring Jenny Slate. This movie is awesome. Like, this is like the perfect date movie. So if you're looking for a date movie for your SO and you're like, let's sit down, let's watch a movie, let's have some popcorn, pop in Obvious Child. It's such a good movie, and you should definitely check it out. So those are my recos this week. And until next week, until our final episode, guys, remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.
Thank you.